Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hello, hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Paranormal Spotlight Radio. I'm Nikki Paranormal, and I am joined tonight by Rob Zarek. Let me go ahead and bring him on. Hello, hello.
Good evening. How are you?
Yes, it's evening. I'm good. How are you?
Well, I was just trying to call our guest and get him into the queue so we could have him on hold ready to go. So, besides that, I'm good.
Oh, I see. Right. I hear you. That's good. Good stuff. It's been a weird day, at least a very weird day for me. I don't know. I hit my head last night, and I think I might have given myself a small concussion. Or maybe a big one. I don't know. We'll just see.
Well, if you don't wake up tonight, then we'll know.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Well, why don't you
That's one way to look at it, right?
Why don't you recap the SuperCon or maybe something, and I'm going to grab our guest, and then I will be back momentarily.
Sounds good. All right. Well, while he does that, guys, we had the Paranormal SuperCon Post Town Elementary School, and it was on November 1st or 2nd and 3rd. I'm sorry. I was down there before that. But we had such an awesome time. We had just absolutely an amazing time, and we had some awesome, awesome guests. I think it was a bit warmer than it was the year before, so that was definitely enjoyable. And we had a lot of new faces, which I'm about like 99.9% sure that they will all be joining us again next year. We had some awesome investigations. We got to be joined by Ghost Brother, Dalen Spratt, who is absolutely awesome. Getting to actually meet him after seeing him on TV was really cool because he's actually one of the people who I've wanted to investigate with. And trust me, I want to investigate with everyone, but I've got a few people who I'm like, that's my bucket list. And he was one of them. And he is just an absolutely awesome down-to-earth guy. Shout out to Dalen, you rock. We had a lot of fun, and I hope that he will join us again next year at the SuperCon, which will be at Post Town Elementary once again. So those of you who are interested in coming, maybe you've never done it before, make sure you come out and join us down at SuperCon next year. So we're already getting people who are interested in tables, people who are interested in tickets and ghost hunts. So we really couldn't ask for more. It's going to rock, and I'm excited. We got a whole year to plan it out. So if you guys have any suggestions for perhaps some potential people that you would like to see there, just hit us up, let us know. If you're interested in possibly having a vendor table or a table for your group, you can also hit us up, info@ghosthunting.com. And, we always have awesome information if you want to surf the web. Head on over to liveparanormal.com, or you can always find out more information about other shows. We will be having a bunch of new awesome shows that are going to be joining the network here. December is going to be our big month. That's when everyone's shows are going to be coming live. And it's really, I think, going to be pretty awesome, pretty amazing. I know I'm looking forward to it. We're going to have some Facebook Live shows that will be added to our lineup as well, in addition to the ones that we currently have. I'm looking forward to that. Some of those people you might have actually got to meet at the SuperCon if you happen to join us there. So if you did join us, thank you. If you didn't, shame on you. Join us next year. So I'm definitely looking forward to it. I know a lot of other people are too. So that's always a good thing when you have an event. when people want to come. So that's always awesome. Not sure how much longer he's going to take. Find out, won't we? So, I'm not sure. I don't know what they're doing. But anyway, we've got an awesome guest tonight. And I'm excited for tonight's show. I even woke up for tonight's show because I have been out of it all day. I think it's a matter of recovering still from all the investigating that I've been doing recently. So, yeah, it's a work in progress. Got some awesome stuff on some of the investigations that I've been on recently. In addition to Post-Town, I still have some evidence to review from there. We had an awesome live stream the night after we wrapped up the SuperCon. That Sunday night, we got to investigate, and I think we ran until, I don't know, it might have been 3 or 4 in the morning. There was some awesome, some weird stuff going on in the men's room. Leave it to Post-Town. That men's room, I'm telling you, we heard all these accounts from guys say, you know, who never even had talked to each other, didn't know anything about this, and they would come out and tell us about something, some experience that they had in there. You know, it's always a dangerous topic when you've got guys coming out of the bathroom talking about experience. You're just like, whoa, I don't want to know, dude. But no, it's some crazy stuff. So I actually got to investigate the men's room for a second year in a row. Weird for me to say, but awesome nonetheless. So that was good. We had a really good time. And looking forward to next year's. Like I said, we've already been working on getting some people, set up for the lineup. We've got hopefully some surprise people that will be joining us at this upcoming year, so 2019 SuperCon. I'm excited about that as well. So we will see. Let's see what's going on. I hate to leave dead air, and I don't want to just keep rambling. People will be like, what? Yeah, so let's see. What's happening, everybody? Oh, no.
I'm back.
Oh, wow, that only took forever. Yeah, how's it going?
It's going well. I have no idea what you said.
I was rambling on and on
nature.
About all sorts of things, and then I ran out of rambles.
That fast?
Yeah. Well, you know, I kind of had a weird day, and it's hard to, you know, I'm now alert and sitting up, which is better than I could say for the beginning of my day, so. Yeah.
That is the downside between
other days.
Between some of you and I, because I think I can ramble for quite some time. Sometimes it's
well, I can too sometimes, but it's like one of those, it's almost like I just woke up kind of deal, I feel like. I'm telling you, I hit my head really hard.
And you're not dead, and you're not thrown up, so it's okay.
Right. I guess so, yeah.
Well, we have a guest
tonight. Welcome back. What was that?
So we have a guest tonight. That I
yes,
think most people
do.
Are familiar with. And
yeah.
I like to say legendary actor, Richard Grieco.
Uh-huh.
Because he...
Yeah.
I think that's right. I didn't ask
yes,
him ahead of time.
That's definitely true.
But we'll find out if he's cool with that or not.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know the number count of movies I should know, but...
Oh, my God, if you bring it up on the internet, it's an endless, like, list. I don't even think I've made it to the bottom of the list. Like, I was scrolling and scrolling. He's been, in so many movies. Unbelievable.
Well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to throw him to the wolves and bring him live now. So bear with me as I bring him on.
Okay. Fantastic.
All right, I believe we are live now with Richard Grieco.
Yes.
Richard, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hello.
Well,
hello.
We appreciate. This is Nicole.
Hi.
You've never met
Hi.
Nicole. We've talked many times, yeah. And Nicole is like, well, why haven't I ever been in on this phone call when you guys were talking about all this cool paranormal stuff. And I'm like, well, the downside is we occasionally stray. We strayed and talked about football and stuff, and that is kind of like the most awful thing for her. So I've been told ahead of time we're not allowed to talk football. So I wanted to.
Well, dude, I was at the Ram Kansas City game last night.
I know, and I want to ask about it, but I'm nervous because she's going to start.
You can go ahead ask someone. Go ahead.
She's going to say, why? I told you not to talk about football.
No,
football.
I'm good today.
You didn't even do a proper introduction. You went right to football.
Well, yeah, that.
And so how was it?
Speaking of paranormal, I mean, if you think about it, it's the NFL, not the Big 12. And, I mean, 54 to 51, I mean, where there was only two punts in the game. I mean, it was interesting because I'm from New York, but I'm a Cowboys fan. But I've never seen an L.A. crowd in my life, like, that loud. And the Coliseum was just insane. I've never seen like that in my life. But it was unbelievable. The energy there was insane. I don't remember a game like that other than like Texas Tech, Oklahoma last year. Mm-hmm. It was like 61-58. But that was college. I mean, to see that happen in the pros is just it was literally probably one of the greatest. I think it was definitely the greatest offensive game in the history of football. And just the talent on the field, because pro football is now, you know, grooming themselves like the college guys and the college plays. They're not doing your standard, you know, just a spread formation or shotgun and this and that. So, but it was an awesome game. Awesome game.
Well, it was one of those games that I think no matter, and we had talked about this, no matter what team you follow, it's the one that piqued your interest because of the teams are just dominant this year, and you knew the way it was gonna be.
Yeah, lived. I mean, for once, like a game of that magnitude lived up to the hype. You know, it really did. And even with a minute 10 to go, you're going, well, should we leave? It's 54-51. You know, should we leave? No, I think we should stay because there could be two more touchdowns in a minute 41 seconds. Where they've been going,
right?
So.
It was. I almost had too much of the offensive games this weekend. When you know, I'm a Buckeye fan, which I'm sure you know, and we played Maryland.
Oh, you got a tough game with Michigan this weekend.
Oh my God, yo, it's a D game. I don't do anything. I don't even know what you could put in front of me, and I would not do it. It's just, it's a D game. It's known as D game, and
He
can't even say Michigan. He can't even say Michigan.
No.
He cringes.
Well, you know what's weird? You know what's weird is Harbaugh and Meyer were born in the same hospital.
Really?
Yeah. And that's where it ends. It ends there.
What are the odds of that? What are the odds of that?
Right.
In all the hospitals in this country, they're born in the same hospital.
Well, and all kidding aside, though, that Meyer, I don't know, he's looking, he literally is looking shaky with his health condition.
He looks rattled. I was going to bring that up. He looks rattled. He looks rattled with that team. He really does. They've had, what, three games that could have gone either way this year? I mean, and you're playing, are you playing at home or in Michigan?
No, it's at Ohio State.
Well, that's plus. Big plus for me.
So it is a plus, but you figure like last Saturday we were going to go to the game in Maryland, and I was like, nah, there's no point to even go. It's a cakewalk, and I kept calling her, and I'm like, oh my God, it's 52-51. We won.
He was having a breakdown.
And we should have
lost. He was like, I can't believe this. I cannot believe this. I can't watch. That's funny.
Yeah, so it's a big weekend.
Yeah,
just for the
game. But Maryland, in the beginning of the year beat Texas. Remember? I mean, it's not an easy place to play, and they're not a bad team, Maryland.
No, they're not, and they have that, you know, that little extra push with a lot of all the controversy going on with their team too. So, yeah,
right,
I think maybe
exactly.
They. Whenever you're struggling, you got a team that has a little bit of nothing to lose and a little bit of push there. You know,
But I have to digress.
Anytime you're playing the big boys, anytime you're playing Ohio State, Michigan, you know, Notre Dame, Alabama, Clemson, I mean, you get these smaller teams and they'll play. Look at the Citadel. They had 10-10 tie at halftime to Alabama. They end up losing 52-17. But, you know, to tie Alabama half is pretty, I mean, and that team is almost like a pro team, Bama.
Yeah, definitely. And I look forward to it, and we'll see what happens this weekend. But we should probably get into the paranormal stuff because I'm sure.
Yeah, we should.
Right now,
because we could talk about this
probably,
for hours. By the way,
we can do a separate podcast about sports. That's no problem for me.
Yeah, because
but
I could talk for
I'm not even. She's probably already sending me dirty messages about.
No,
why
I
are you talking? Continue to talk about.
I'm behaving myself tonight. You're lucky. Behaving.
But the cool part about talking to Richard is that you have seemed like you have a ton of paranormal stories, and you're very interested in the paranormal. I found that amazing because there's a lot of people who do what we do, but some of the stories you're telling me, especially when you were filming the Clinton Road movie. I thought that was there's some really cool stuff, and it's interesting because it's actually matched up with stuff with what we've heard, of that famous area. So, I'm excited to talk about that and some of the other stuff you have going on, and you mentioned earlier about your artwork, and I actually pulled up your website today, and I was blown away by some of the stuff. I've seen it before, but I really looked at it in detail today because I do appreciate art myself. And we'll have to talk about that. So there's a lot of stuff we have to dig into in the next 20, 25 minutes
talk about Doll Man, too, a script I wrote with Jason Tavares.
We can do that. We just...
Yeah,
it's really cool. Then we can go into Clinton Road and all other stuff. But when I was a little kid, my grandmother, grandpa... My grandmother and grandfather had these ceramic dolls on top of their mantle in the fireplace. And I remember he used to sit in this chair, which is one of those lazy boys, remember, with the thing you pull up and he just fall asleep there all the time. And one of the dolls one day just fell off the mantle. And they always creep me out anyways because of the ceramic dolls. They look straight ahead with those eyes and they always look like they're watching you. So I went to pick it up, and he said, no, don't pick that up. And he said it while his eyes were closed, And I go, why? He goes, well, let Nani pick it up. She'll put it back in the mail. So I asked him about how old are the dolls. He goes, they're from the 1700s, 1800s, and have her show you, have her take you into the garage upstairs. What was weird about the garage was my grandfather was into he was a Freemason, and they had these rituals, which I had as a kid you had no idea about, she took me upstairs. There's always weird drawings in the walls and weird kind of slides and weird kind of all these candles and stuff. This is my grandfather, not a young guy, and I went upstairs and there was probably 350 ceramic dolls, all perfectly on shelves, like in a triangle, as you walk in. And I went, oh my God. And then you get it, that chill you get? That chill you just get like. And I said, Nani, what are these for? Oh, I come up there sometimes and talk to them. I go, what do you mean you talk to them? So you'll figure it out. And that is one thing, and I just never forget that doll. And then I went back into the house, and that doll that fell off of the mantle was gone. And I asked Papa, where did that doll go? And he said, what doll? I said, that one that fell off. He goes, oh, don't worry about it. That doll was never there. I mean, what do you mean it was never there? He goes, did she take you up the garage? I go, yeah. He goes, you can always go up in there and talk to them. I'm like, did my grandparents just go nuts in like 1 hour?
Right.
Are they on something that I don't know about? You know, so that was just creepy. So I came up with the story Doll Man, of a guy who gets in. Everybody has a lot of crap in their lives. And if you don't deal with it properly, and you deal with it in an angry way, we get in trouble. Let's say it's a drug abuse, alcoholism, abuse towards men and women, or whatever it is, you pick up fragments of these evil dolls. And what happens to the course of the film, the doll man that's fictional in your head actually becomes a literal being, which is all pieces of dolls. And he actually grows into this thing that you created yourself. And it's basically creating a whole new creepy character for, like, you know, like the Michael Myers and the Jason Voorhees and all this stuff and the Freddy Kruegers. But this is kind of like based on a truism of those dolls, but yet I've kind of pulled it along, stretched it into a tangible creature that is something that you created out of your own crap in your life.
Right.
So, anyways.
Oh, that's cool. I like it.
No, I think my two points on that would be, number one is, I think you just won her, Nicole, over. And she now forgives you for talk. Because she is like a doll fanatic. And I'll tell you what's just kind of weird. If you look at her Facebook, you know, like when she goes all over the country, she'll stop at like thrift stores and Goodwill and stuff, and then she'll take pictures of like the doll in the back seat and stuff. And there's a couple of pictures with, like, she's like, "Hey, check out my new doll. It's missing an arm, but it's really cool." And I'm like, "Okay, you know." So,
oh wow,
you know, she does.
Oh, yeah,
she likes the creepy dolls. So then, my second point would be,
they think they're haunted. Yeah.
Yes.
They are.
My second point would be,
they are.
Do you know? Are these dolls still in your family, and can we visit them? That would be my second point/question.
I'm gonna ask my father, because he died. His mom, my grandfather and grandmother. There's always that thing in the family, which is a rift. So I don't know if Aunt Sandra took everything, or what. But I'm gonna find out about those dolls.
Yeah.
That's just creepy.
Cool.
It's creepy.
Yeah, dolls are, and it's funny because when we travel throughout the country too, at different locations, it seems like there's an abundance of locations that we go to, or houses that we go to, that have doll rooms. It's like a thing, you know. Like I think
it's like a creepy standard
thing where, you know, if you're at a haunted location and you have a doll that you want to get rid of, you take it to the haunted location, and then the haunted location now has a doll room. You know, it's for us, that's not like obscure. It's like normal. So like, if you say about like a doll room, we're
like
oh yeah, we just visited one 2 weeks ago, and we actually investigated a doll room. So for us, that's like normal.
I mean, if you think about it, I mean, what I experienced as a little kid, and I've never forgotten it, was it's almost like whoever those dolls were with through time. Through the hundreds of years, because there was probably 150,000 dollars worth of ceramic dolls. I mean, they were all like from England and all these places in Europe. But the things that they've seen through the course of history get soaked into those eyes, and you don't know what people have done with them, as far as like how they held them. Did they sleep? Did they die with them? They're just a weird, I guess, portal to the past that's still here, you know, and they've lived 100, 200 years, you know. It's going to be a really creepy movie, by the way.
Yeah, I think it's a good
that's
one.
Awesome.
I'm intrigued already, because I think, you know, for me, the attachment idea and mindset sometimes is a little hit or miss, but there's something about a doll, and I think just the personal aspect of a doll, and, you know, that is different than, you know, the rocking chair that rocks by itself, because the old lady sat in the rocking chair. You know, it's just something about a doll that seems to be more believable, and I don't know what it is. I think maybe you hit the nail on the head with that.
That connection that people make with it, you know, they make with that doll, you know, whether it be, you know, a little girl who, you know, her doll went everywhere with her, you know.
Right.
That seeing everything, like you said, and I think that, you know, they almost take on their own being beforehand, you know, in the kid's mind, and even some adults.
Sometimes they look creepy, too, especially when you think they're moving and they think they're watching you and stuff. I think eyes, something about eyes are always creepy, you know, because they're like, you look and turn around real quick and you think that doll's still watching you. So I think it's just the doll in general
it's amazing how the real good ones are done, because the way the eyes are created, they're always looking at you, no matter what part of the room you're moving, you know. Let's say you're moving 10 foot right or 10 foot left. It's still watching you. It's not like the eyes are moving.
Right.
But they're still
watching
you. Right,
feel like they are.
And we've encountered somewhere, depending on what angle or where you take the pictures from or who took the pictures, the eyes are different colors. And some of that stuff you can't explain. There's a doll that is known that, like, people will take the picture and it'll have green eyes, it'll have blue eyes. I think it always has eyes. I've never been able to take a picture that doesn't have any eyes. Which would be
there is one
amazing
place that I heard a story where the doll had no eyes in the one photo, and it was where we were at for the SuperCon. Someone had got a picture during our event, and the doll had no eyes. And it has eyes.
Oh, really?
So that has happened, yeah. And it has eyes, but they got a photo of it without them, which is really weird.
When you're ready to promote that movie, and you need the extra push, let us know, because we'll be the driving force behind anything you're doing with that, because that sounds amazing.
Yes. Right up my alley.
Thank you. Thank you.
But,
very cool.
But the thing that we started talking about was that the Clinton Road. And it was kind of our first conversation was based on some of the cool stuff that had happened there. And it was interesting because we had our own, you know, talks about Clinton Road prior to me talking to you. And it was funny how some of the stuff that you were saying was just identical to the stuff that we have heard. So, you know, what are some of those stories that you take away from there that just maybe blow your mind or that you'll never forget?
Well, I remember the first night I went out there probably 10 days before we started shooting. And I was directing it and producing with Steve Scandalous. And I went out there with a couple other people. And we just went out on the famous bridge, which is right towards Dead Man's Curve, where all the people have died with their cars. And the famous bridge is where this boy, a young boy on a bike, back in 1979, 81, got hit. It was a hit and run. The kid flew into the water. The bike was still there, and he was with his dog, which was a hound dog. And a car came by. And back then in the '80s, you didn't have a cell phone. So he went to one of the houses, called the police. They came out, and the dog would not let them near the boy. So the cops came down, and the dog was, like, ravenous. And then the dog, as they got close to the boy, the dog jumped at one of the officers and bit him, and they had to put the dog down. Now, they got the boy. They never found out who hit the kid. So we went up there, and the story goes, because I guess when he died, he was going... He had a bunch of quarters in his pocket, and he was going to the store to buy something. And the thing is, when you throw a quarter into the water, you got to step in the middle of the bridge on the lines. You throw a quarter in the water, and this quarter is supposed to come back. Mm-hmm. And so, me being, just engaging things. We were out there, and the thing creepy about the road, it's just there's no lights. And so once you get off the particular freeway is in New Jersey, get on Clinton Road, there's a few nice houses, and all of a sudden it turns into this black road that goes, and this windy road for like 10 miles. And it's a strange road because it stops. It's in between two freeways. And so we brought a bunch of quarters and we're throwing them. And we hear them ting in the water. And then I threw another one and I didn't hear anything. I said, well, shit, it must have went in the woods or something like that. So it was me and like four other people. And we're just hanging out there for about, I would say, an hour, hour and a half, and just kind of taking it all in. And all of a sudden, Mo heard a noise. I said, what was that? He goes, I don't know, what was it? Because the bridge now has a guardrail, like a metal guardrail on it now, because of all the people that are so infatuated with this thing were falling off the bridge. And he goes, and we got our, and then we're going to call. I remember our phones were like, my phone was charged up. We had the cars there. And then we looked at our phone. My phone was dead. His phone was dead. Steve's phone was dead. And Jody's phone was dead. Like, dead.
Wow.
All our phones were dead. So I go, what did you hear? And he goes, I don't know. I heard over here. And we look around. And all of a sudden, we see, like, seven or eight quarters all around this thing. And they're wet. And I'm like, no. And I said to Mo, I go, you did this. And goes, I didn't do it. And look at my arm. I saw his arm, and it was just goosebumps everywhere. And I said,
wow.
That didn't just happen, did it? He goes, I don't know. I go, why don't we do another one and make sure you know the date? So he threw a quarter, and I think it was a 1969 quarter. Waited, nothing happened. We left the road that night. Now, we went back 3 days later. We went along the road, saw the ironworks, which was built in actually 1726, before we were even a country. And we still say today it was built by a civilization that was like, I think, 2500 BC. I mean, in New Jersey. Which is crazy. It looks like a Mayan structure where it's not like a pyramid, but it's built up like that, you know? And then the houses we saw were just so, we saw houses that had fake windows. And I remember going up, there's one house, it's a famous house where there was like a mass murder of like four people, and going to the door and I looked up and I heard, Steve, so let's get out of here. I saw someone in the window. I said, those windows aren't real. They're not real. They're not really windows.
Wow.
Said, look. And he goes, no, dude, get out of here. So we went back to the bridge that night. And we're looking around. And all of a sudden, on top of the bridges when you look over the bridge on top of the thing there, Steve goes, you guys come here for a second? He goes, what was the date of that quarter? And I had a picture of it on my phone. And it was 1969. I go, 1969, why? He goes, I got your quarter.
Wow.
So I don't know if there's some smart little kid down there playing with people and making tons of money.
Right.
But that night, I started, like, I got in the middle of the road, and I said, little boy, I said, we're not here to hurt you. I said, we just want you to come out and play. Everything's going to be okay. No one's going to harm you. I go, can you hear me? And I would wait. I go, can you hear me? I go, don't worry, you can come with us. Nothing's going to happen to you. And all of a sudden, About 10 minutes later, we heard this dog just, and we didn't know where the dog was because there are people that live up there. But we never saw the dog. So that night, I went back to the hotel, and I went back to the hotel, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And this is before we started shooting. 3 o'clock in the morning, and the lady at the front desk goes, "Mr. Grieco, can you come here for a second?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "We got about 100 faxes that came through the fax machine for you." I said, "From who?" She goes, "Well, you should look at them." And there were faxes of me when I was a kid, a little kid. There were faxes, pictures of me getting to the hotel. There were pictures of me on Clinton Road, pictures of me on the bridge, pictures of me in the black Suburban. I said, "Where did you get those and who took them?" And she goes, "I have no idea." I said, "Isn't there a return?" She goes, "It's an unknown number." I go, "Well, we didn't take those pictures, and I don't know who took them." And I'm freaking out at this point.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Well," because she knew we were doing this movie, Clinton Road, and everyone's freaked out about Clinton Road up there. And I said, "We just came back from the road." And so she said, "Well, I'm going to be off, and I'll let you know if there's anything here tomorrow." I go, "Where are they?" And I saw a couple of them. She goes, "I shredded the rest because I just didn't want to see them anymore." And she said, "Because it kept coming through." Like, choo, 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 choo. So everything's calmed down for a while. We start shooting. We shot stuff in New York first to get the club scene stuff done. And then we went out to Clinton Road again. And I remember that night, after we finished shooting, well, before that, I think I told Rob that remember I told you all the Jennies went out?
Mm-hmm.
So we were on Clinton Road. We lit the whole road, and the bridge and everything. and we were shooting and I was doing a scene on the bridge and all of a sudden all the Jennies, all three of them, just all the lights go black. And everyone's like, "Didn't you guys put gas in the Jennies?" I go, "Why would all three Jennies go out? I mean, there's got to be gas in one of them." I go, so everyone gets out their flashlights, checks the gas is every Jenny has like half a tank of gas. So They're trying to fix the Jennies. All of a sudden, all the Jennies go on because they're all on already. And by 8 minutes later, everything goes on. Lights go up again. And which freaked a lot of extras out and this and that, and also freaked me out and other people. But that night I went back to the hotel because before we left, I was talking to the little boy again. And I said, "Did you take pictures of us? Do you know what hotel I'm staying at?" I was staying at the Hilton in New Jersey. And so that night I get back to the hotel and I'm lying in bed. You know, and you just feel something weird, like something in the room, and you're just kind of going with it. So I look over to the left. I'm lying on the bed, facing to the right, towards the door of the, when you come into the room. To my left is the window, and there's a radiator there. And it wasn't on. I get up. And I look over and I thought I saw like this little figure there. And I'm like, it's probably the light or something. So I get up out of bed, step on the floor, and the floor is wet. So I look down and I can see imprints of footprints, not big footprints and not mine, little footprints. So I go to the windowsill. Or the radiator, which is below the windowsill, and touch it, and it's all wet. And I'm going, and then I call my girlfriend, Michelle. I go, and I FaceTime her. I go, "Look at this." And she goes, "Get out of the room now. Get the hell out of the room now." And I said, "I'm going to." So I went for a walk. I was talking to her. went back up later, ended up falling asleep. Next day, I told the people downstairs the floor was wet and stuff. And but by the morning, it dried up. And then there was, it was really strange because the road kind of overtook my me mentally, physically, emotionally. I thought it was just because I was so involved with directing this thing, and I was under, you know, not a huge budget. I had to get it in, you know, had to get everything done. But I started being not myself. Like, I started being really angry, like when we get off work, like just really angry at nothing. and then Michelle told me one night, she blew up my phone. There was like 18 phone calls from her, but I couldn't get, a lot of time you can't get cell service on that road. So she called me. She said, "What happened tonight?" I got all these messages, call me. So after we got done, I called her and I said, what happened? What's going on? I said, are the guys okay? We got three Boston Terriers. And she goes, yeah, they're fine. But that plate above the sink flew off and flew across the room. I said, no. I said, yeah. She goes, yeah, what are you guys doing there? That's coming here. And
wow.
I said, nothing. So little things like that. I mean, things going missing. Then the Jackson Whites, which are actually real people, that walk around Clinton Road. And the thing is, you don't want to engage with them because basically it's an albino kind of, I don't want to call it a tribe thing that live in northern New Jersey in the hills. And they're basically almost naked, and they're all pale and white. And I remember seeing, like, all these candles, like, probably about, I'd say, 100 yards away in the woods. And we had a marshal out there because we didn't have a permit. And he knew who I was and said, I'll let you guys shoot here. Because I told him he could be in the movie. And I talked to his wife to say hi. I said, who are those people? Can we go in? Because I wanted to do some interviews, too, with the folks up there, you know, that deal with this stuff.
Right.
He goes, do not go over there. I go, why? He goes, one thing, you'll get shot. I go, what do you mean shot? He goes, yep, they carry, yeah, they carry guns, they carry knives, and we just leave them alone. And
wow.
I told Rob, remember I told you when we drove up there during the day that time on the GoPro? And we had the GoPro mounted on the front of the Suburban because we were just filming the road going up and this and that. And we looked through the GoPro at the end when we got back to the hotel, and there was a shot of us leaving on that GoPro.
Oh, wow. Huh.
That makes no sense.
So, yeah.
The one thing that
doesn't make any
away,
sense.
No, and the one thing I've taken away from everything you've said, and I've been thinking this in the background, is I would love, to, like, when you were engaging with the little boy, and if you had the stuff on film, to comb through some of that footage and just see if we can pick out paranormal activity. Because you would be surprised.
Yeah.
When we go out and do our production stuff, we don't even realize the stuff we have. I mean, there's the obvious the no-brainer stuff where we have direct communication that you can't deny. But when we go back and listen to the video because it's shot at different frequencies, the voices that come through and the stuff that we've had direct communications, and we don't even know what's happening until we go back and review the video. So I would be so surprised like if you didn't have something captured that's like the most amazing paranormal activity going on that you don't even know you have, but it's hidden somewhere in your hours and hours of film, because that's
totally
one thing that we go through, and you know, everything with you know, very specific, but you would be surprised how you can capture, you know, EVPs and voices through your cameras that you don't even know you have. So that's what I was thinking. I was like, wow, that would be so interesting to go back and listen to some of that stuff and see what
totally.
You can pull out of it, because I would
it's
be shocked
you
if there wasn't
that
something there.
There is stuff there, because our editor said, whose voices are these? Is this
right.
Katie's voice? I go, no, it's not Katie's voice. It's probably Aaron's voice. Mm-hmm. And then the screams, because we don't know, because there were screams that we had that people were screaming, but then there were screams over the screams. So, I mean, you guys would know better than I would, but it just sounded like, you know, because we had Bob's on them, you know, body mics, and also we were booming, you know, just to get any noise, any sound we could get, you know, when they're running around and this and that. But we got, I mean, 14 gigs on one hard drive and 8 gigs mm-hmm. on another hard drive of footage. And it's all shot in 4 and 5K, too, so.
Right.
So I'll email Rob the director's cut of the film.
That would be great.
More to do on it.
The only thing is when
you might
when
see
get
stuff
back
that
you,
I have not seen.
Yeah, when we get back to you, like, what is this? And you'll be your mind is blown, because we reviewed our stuff that we shot at the Ohio State Reformatory, and it was pretty
insane.
Easy because there was three of us, and we have a voice that's saying it's TV. And well, I'm like, well, that wasn't Nicole's voice, because she doesn't sound like a 6-year-old man.
No, not normal.
You know, and it wasn't the camera. I know, not sometimes, but not that time. you know, it was like just a plain as day voice saying it's TV, and it was none of us. And you know, you would be surprised, just something about that recorded portion that you just. When we went back, one of the claims was a child's giggle, and we went back and listened, and we were getting the giggle as we were talking about the giggle. So I truly believe that a lot of times they're right there. And I had shared a story with you yesterday when we were at a location about a month ago. I had asked if they knew my name, and my full name came back.
Right.
You know, and of all the weird stuff that's happened and I've seen, possession and stuff, and Nicole's gotten possessed in front of me. To me, the creepiest thing was when they knew my first and last name. And
that's creepier,
you know, so,
than possession.
Yes, because I'm like, how do they know? I mean, they're always watching you, and that makes it weird.
Well, yeah.
You know, you hate to think that you're just like, there's somebody sitting next to me on a sofa right now, you know, or
yeah.
You know, I'm in the studios, or they're watching you cut the video, and yeah, you know, it's just weird. You know, so
yeah.
I really think that they try to communicate, and when you're not looking to communicate is when you get the most activity. You know, when you're sitting
exactly.
there, what we do, you know, we sit and we essentially talk to the walls. You know, when people ask you, hey, why do you want to come to our building? We're like, what are you going to do? We're like, well, we're going to sit in the dark, and we're going to talk to your walls. And that's essentially what it
right.
looks like from some people's mm-hmm. perspective. You know, and it also is great for us, because that whole thing, then people are at ease because we don't really need anything. You know, we don't even need a lecture half the time. You know, and when you're sitting and you're going into a spirit space and you're saying, hey, answer all these questions, a lot of times you don't get the answers. But when we're conversing and we're not even paying attention, but yet we're recording audio, we go back, they're like, hey, I'm here, you know, why aren't you paying attention to me? You know, it seems that format works really well for us, so I'd be super
yeah.
surprised.
Yeah, with this one,
to...
yeah, I would not, because what I'm looking at when we're editing is not that. I'm looking at performance and lighting and this and that. So if you transverse that, you look basically at the wall, which is the background and this and that and everything around it, not the actors. You know, I'm going to rewatch it again, because
yeah.
and look at everything else other than performance, you know, and all the kind of superfluous things around that because we got a lot of wide shots, a lot of cool drone shots that are really insane, that are weird things. So, yeah, that, I mean, it affected me for about, I would say, 6 to 8 months after filming. You know, I mean, the movie I'm doing in February, Attack of the Unknown with the Mahal brothers, which is, you know, basically the alien vampires, you know, that, at least that has nothing to do with me going to a creepy place where it lived up to everything that that people said it was, and more, because I did not think that it would become almost tangible where something was in my room or being, it was almost being taken over for a while by, because I would roam around the woods like after shooting and just go, why am I doing this? I told them to wait for me up at the base camp. And I remember the guy we didn't get it on film because we had to get him out of there. He had an ATV with a flamethrower on the front of it, like a flamethrower, literally, like a 3 foot flame, just screaming and yelling through the woods. And we followed him. I said, "Well, get the camera." And by the time I got down there, we looked at what he was doing. He had all these skulls, animal skulls, and legs and rib cages on these wires. And he was just looking at him. He was singing, and he was playing. He had a house right down the road. You think of it. You got the road. This was off of Clinton Road, which was another road when we filmed in the woods. So in the woods, you had another house next to this, and all he played was like Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath. We had to tell him to turn it down all the time. But he had his radio on, or a boombox with him, running down with a flamethrower playing, I think it was a Zeppelin song, Black Dog or something. I mean, it was just freaking crazy.
That doesn't happen every day.
No, it was a lot of crazy stuff. I never forget it.
Wow.
I'll never forget that. But
Would you go back? Would you go back?
I want to go back. I have to go back.
Right.
Oh, I think
if you go back,
you're
going to. You have to.
We would love to go back with you and document that. It's from our perspective.
I'm only 184 miles away. I looked it up already.
You looked it up as.
I did. I could go tonight.
Yeah, it's just strange. I've dreamt about the road. I see it. Because in my paintings, I paint from a subtext of a subconscious, not a literal point of view. So everything is based on a pure emotion. So sometimes you don't know where that emotion is coming from. Is it you? Is it something else? Mm-hmm. Is it something that... Because sometimes I paint, and I don't know how I got to that point to paint that. So I've been trying to say... I never can say, I'm going to go paint this. Okay? So I've been wanting to paint Clinton Road, and I've been wanting to paint Clinton Road for about 9 months, and I still can't do it. I have everything in my head. What do I want to do? Everything. But I still can't do it. Still can't do it. I still can't do it. Still can't get mine. I got a 10-foot by 4-foot canvas that I had stretched just for that painting, and I just can't do it. I know. Strange.
Well, I'm excited to watch the movie and even just to go through some of that and listen from my perspective, because it sounds like it's going to be. I would be shocked if there's not some kind of amazing, you know, thing going on there, especially paranormal-wise, because, you probably captured the little boy saying, "Hey, look down here," or something. You know, you never know.
I'm right here.
Yeah. Here's your quarterback.
Well, it wasn't just me. And there were other people. Like, our crew was about 40 people. So, I mean, there were other people that heard that we'd just hear a scream, like probably 40 yards away. Like, we're parking. Who's screaming? And then someone would say, who's out in the woods? They heard someone out in the woods, and there was no one in the woods. They said it might have been a deer. And she goes, well, I forget what what it said to her, but let's say it said get out. She basically said, what kind of deer talks and says, basically, get the hell out of here.
Right.
You know. So.
No, not
that smart. Well, you got a point. You got
a
point
there.
Real
smart deer.
Real smart deer. You're smart up here.
Well, now you had mentioned too that was it the Attack of the Unknown? Is that
that's
the title?
A really great script.
You know, and it's funny because like, what would be like a better title for something that like us at Live Paranormal would get behind? Attack of the Unknown. That just sounds like something that we would.
Right.
We would do, it'd be like a
totally.
Title of like one of our radio shows or something. It's like that. That's like something we would do. So, what is that about? She said aliens.
It's kind of we're having a creature being made as we speak, and it's basically an alien / vampire. And that's what they come down and basically they feed on humans. It's kind of an apocalyptic type of thing where, but it's a cross between an alien, like Alien. I would say like the old school, like Nosferatu looking thing.
Right.
And it's a really creepy, but it's a lot of action. It's a fun film. They take over humans. They take over their bodies, basically, because they want to take over the Earth, which, when I watch it, I watch a lot of the paranormal shows like on History and Annie and Lifetime and not Lifetime. What's the other network that does those? American History Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Or American Heroes Network, right? American Heroes Network. And then all that stuff with, like the Mayans. I went down. I was going to do I had access to Structure Number 5 down in Calakmul, which is around Campeche in Mexico. And now Structure Number 5 is one of the most infamous structures in all of the Mayan ruins, because there's probably 20 people, and I'm talking worldwide, that have been inside. And we got access to go inside because we met the archaeologist that was down there. But it got all screwed up with the government down there. And then once we got inside, we couldn't take pictures. We couldn't do video. They had to take our cell phones. But I saw a glyph that was – now, you got to understand, they predated – the Romans basically came up with the archway, arches. Before that, it was basically every doorway was basically a rectangle, you know, boom, boom. So the Romans came up with archways. We went into this Mayan temple, this pyramid, and they had all these different rooms, and you walk in and you walk through all this stuff. And there was archways, which shouldn't predate the Romans, but it predated the Romans. And they had it back to 4,000 BC, which predates to where the Mayans were supposedly around. And the glyph I saw was like something, like it looked like alabaster. It was like 15 feet long by 10 feet high, and it was in perfect condition. And you saw like faces on it, and like spaceships, and like these, and they had these heads. like in front of it. I mean, I'm talking heads that are the size of, they got to weigh probably 5 tons, and it looks like they have like these helmets on. And, but I don't understand Spanish that well. And so he's talking in Spanish, and Raul at the time was translating. And, I just couldn't believe the stuff we saw in there. And plus, the feeling you got in those temples was like, my heart started, and I work out every day, and it's really bad. I'm in great shape. But my heart started right where I felt like I was going to have a heart attack in there. And I don't know what it's from or the energy in there or whatever happens in those temples, but I felt it. Mark Caden felt it. I forget his partner's name. But anyways, so we're going to do this whole show on these. And then we went to the island of Haina, which the island of Haina is a man-made island made by the Mayans. So basically, there was a man-made island. And what they did was we got on the island of Haina, which is off-limits. It's just off-limits and all that stuff. But we were with INA, which was the International Something-Something of Archaeological Studies down in Mexico. And went with them on a boat, and we saw these portals. They're like whirlpools around the island, and I'm talking 50 feet by 50 feet, like huge whirlpools. And I asked the lady, what are they? I mean, is it some kind of like underground, like lake underneath the island that pulls it? And she goes, no. She goes, you go in there, and what they did back in like 3000 BC, it takes you to, she said, if you jumped in there, and I'm taking it for like a grain of salt at the time, you could end up in another land. I go, it's a portal. She says, a portal to, she says, how do you think like they got here and all these pyramids around the whole world are all pretty much the same. And they all kind of have like astronomical things and facing this way and that way and stuff like that. I said, so if I jumped in there right now, what would happen to me? She goes, we would never see you again. I go, well, I'm not going to jump in, but really? And so when we got on the island of Haina, there are these things called the Aluchis, which are these small little people. And she was dead serious. She's one of the biggest archaeologists in the world. She said, dead serious. She said she went there once with her partner, who ended up getting, with his own machete, getting his back of his leg sliced by one of these little things. And I go, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I said, I've seen we get on the island, and she does this whole thing. She had a pack of cigarettes. She had a thing of tequila and some flowers. I said, what are you doing? She goes, it's a sacrificial thing to the gods of the island to let them know that we don't mean them any harm. So we go around and look around, and all of a sudden we see these smaller pyramids, like, you know, like 18 feet high, and then there's this place. Looks like a basketball court out of like old stone. And I go, what is this? She goes, this is where they played with the small children, and they sacrificed them. I go, why would they? And the children were from ages, I think, 5 to 9. Cause that's when they're the most innocent. And so what they did was there are these little like fossilized turtle. I found a turtle, like a little turtle thing, and I shook it, and it made a sound. I showed her, what is this? She goes, well, they made those, and it's a rattle. And they gave it to the kids, and so when the kids would rattle them, they would be distracted, and they'd come and slice their throats from behind. Now, they wouldn't bury the female and the boys together. They'd bury the females facing south and female and the males facing north. And I go, well, where are they buried? She goes, you're stepping on them everywhere. there's over 100,000 here. I go, why is this not in any history books? And then, if you notice, last year you started hearing about it on the island of Haina. And that was a creepy place. She said, don't take anything home with you. This and that. Of course, I took some pottery and I took a couple of things. But I don't know why I went off on a tangent. It was just but anyway, the show never happened because of the government, and it got to where they wanted just cash, you know, give us 100,000 cash. Like, well, we don't even have a production yet, so we can't give you 100,000 cash. I got like 40 bucks I can give you.
Right.
You know, which American.
Right. Does that help?
So, anyways, it's American. Yeah. Does that help?
Yeah. Oh,
that's funny. Well, I definitely appreciate you joining us tonight. I know we've well
exceeded.
Yes, I was like, hey, 20, 30 minutes, and it's been an hour. So, you know, I'm sure you have things to do, and, you know, we can talk paranormal all night. That's just, and still,
can.
The stories, the doll stories is amazing.
Yes.
And, you know, it's, we'll have to do this again sometime and maybe do like a part two.
Okay.
Cool. Well, we appreciate you calling in tonight, and we'll
appreciate
send you the link to the podcast, and I'm sure we will talk to you soon.
You got it.
Yeah.
No, right, talk to her. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you have it.
Yeah. Awesome.
You know, talk about like a guy who does a lot of stuff right in our genre, you know. And like,
I know.
Right? It's even the name of like his movies fit what we
I
do
know
perfectly.
So right up our alley for sure. We definitely need to talk some more about these dolls. I'm telling you, now I want to go like see if any of mine since you know we started when I get it from the studio, see if they've moved at all or anything.
Yeah, if they're in a triangle, just like he was talking about now. That would be
if
cool.
Mine are, I'm going. You're so getting a call, and I'll be posting photos because that would just be so kick ass. I'd be down.
Well, we had a great show, and hope everyone enjoyed it. And we will see everybody next week. We won't see them; they won't see us.
No,
but they'll probably hear us.
That's what we're hoping for, at least.
It always makes it easier.
That's right. All right, everyone, thanks for tuning in to Paranormal Spotlight Radio. Have a wonderful week. Bye.